Latif Crowder, how are you, mate?
God, I'm doing good, brother. How you been?
I'm very well. God, it's been a long time. I haven't seen you since we did Undisputed 3, which was 2009.
Nine, I think. Yeah, Bulgaria.
Yeah,
Yeah.
man.
Yeah, it's
Good
been
to
a
see you
minute, man.
again.
But I'm watching you doing your thing, man. Proud of you, man. Really proud of you. Proud of your
Proud of
work.
you too, my friend. Proud of you too. Listen, we're still in it. That's the important thing.
Yes,
As
sir.
long as we get paid to do what we love, we're lucky.
Yes, sir. I believe
Yeah,
that.
man. When people say to me, "What's your favorite fight that you've ever done?" I've got a few, but of course, our fight is always on that list. Like the top three. I have to say the one I did with you, phenomenal to work with you. I've never worked with anyone as explosive and as fast. I mean, you and Tony Jaa are the most explosive and quick martial artists I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
I appreciate that, man. I can say the same as well. Every time someone asks me the fight between you and I, you're definitely my top two, I would say, instead of
And you
three.
did
But yeah.
it. You did it with a sprained ankle.
Oh, you did it with a sprained ankle as well,
Did
right?
I?
Didn't we
Did
hurt our
I?
ankle?
I remember
I
you
think
had a sprained
first
ankle.
ankle.
I had a sprained ankle. Did I?
Yeah, I think you had something hurt. Like I remember Larnell was like, "Oh man, Scott's hurt, so you guys take it easy during rehearsals." And then we did that move. And then bam, there goes I went down. Then Larnell was like, "Oh man, both my guys are down." And I was like, "Oh shit." So, but we had the bio freeze going and pumped each other up.
Well,
So
that's the real fear of making a martial arts film or an action film. If you're performing and stuntman, different thing, because they'll just get another one if you get injured. But if they need your face as well, it's always like, okay, how far can I push it without getting injured?
Yeah, I think we changed the choreography around a little bit to, save the ankle a little bit. But nah, we pretty much went out, went for it, taped it up, and just like I said, put a lot of that bio freeze on it and went for it, man. And you as
Yeah.
well, man. You were, someone I love to be around. My whole life, I was always taught to be around someone that's always better, stronger, faster. That to push me to be better, stronger, and faster. And my fight with you, man, it was just and I felt that, it was never went down at all, all the way to the end, until whatever you choked me out, whatever. It just we never lost our energy, which I loved a lot.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, man. I mean, there's things that I do in that fight that I wasn't even sure that I could do. Like
Yeah.
running up the thing and doing the reverse front somersault. I tried it in the gym and it works, but to do it off the post was a different story. And
That
then
was
the other
amazing.
move I did, and I really didn't know if I could do it, was the kip up, but with the twist.
The twist, right? Right.
Matt, I
Well,
think
you
that
did.
was one of your specialities. Like, I'll have a go at that.
Right. And what people don't know, like every time he did it, he did it. He was spot on every time. Most takes, it was just to see if we can do it better and better. So, yeah, that was
Yeah.
awesome.
Well.
There's a few moves I did as well. I was like, man, I'm not sure if I can land them. Or I remember, I think our first sequence, and I did like, gosh, I can't say it in English, but I did like a Meia Lua de Compasso, and then I turned around and did a backflip the other way, and I've never done that before in one spot, just for camera. Usually in capoeira, kind of moving side to side, but I had to do that in one spot, and I was like, ooh.
Well, we'll look at that in a minute, and you
Yeah.
remind me about that. But first, Latif, as we do with all my guests, please, and I want to know about this because capoeira is something that I really do not know that much about. Please tell us your martial arts background, how you got into capoeira and all of that stuff.
I was born into capoeira. Capoeira was a part of the history from my culture where I was born in Salvador Bahia, Brazil is the name of the city, São Salvador, and that's really really popular for capoeira. It's pretty much where the main culture from capoeira comes from. So I started that with my family, with my father, pretty much like in the streets. We didn't really have an academy or anything like that until I came to the United States when I was really young. And then I started training a little bit more with my family and stuff. Nothing really special until I met, I think it was about 91, Mestre Vaguinho. And he was in San Jose, California. And I met up with him. And I started training capoeira with him, and he refined my capoeira, completely to what you see today. And pretty much that's how I got into capoeira.
Any other martial arts that you've dipped in and out of?
No, it's funny. A lot of people think I do a lot of different martial arts, but I don't. I just a lot of the buddies I've met over the years and stuntmen and great martial artists like you. I just trained and dabble a little bit in their martial arts and kind of add it to mine, sometimes in fight scenes and everything. But no, I never really formally took another martial art.
So can you break capoeira down for the uninitiated, the people that might know not enough about it? I mean, obviously, from what I know is that it was a martial art that was disguised as a dance, whether that's
Yeah.
true or not.
Yeah, pretty much the capoeira was brought to Brazil by the African slaves. A lot of them came from places like Angola, the Congo Kingdom, Nigeria, and places like that. And a lot of them were warriors or prisoners of war from Africa. The martial art was banned, pretty much. The slaves weren't allowed to use it. And so they had to find a way to disguise it. And
Okay.
there's different many different tribes. And so it's like a mixture of different things. The music, kind of helps disguise the martial art. They just kind of started moving side to side. We call it a jenga, kind of disguises the martial art, but they're actually setting up their stances like a boxer. And pretty much they combine all these elements of acrobatics, dance, and martial art techniques to disguise what they're really trained for, which was to fight for their freedom. And there's been many different periods of capoeira, how it's changed through the years. It's had its underground periods, and it's had its periods where it was in the maroon colonies, where people were actually free, the slaves were free, the Africans were free, and they were allowed to develop more techniques. After that, it became kind of a criminal period because there was no jobs, there was a lot of inequality, and capoeira was still against the law. It was forbidden to do capoeira. So up until the 1930s, there was a famous guy named Mestre Bimba who actually saved capoeira, and he made a presentation to the government to make it a formal martial art. And this was, pretty much around that time. And since then, it's been in academies and it's not been in the streets anymore, or somewhere in the country. It's been in academies since then.
Okay. Now, when you're doing the what would you call it when you're with a sparring partner and you're playing or whatever?
Oh, that's called a roda, a roda. So when you're playing, it's called a jogo. It's just a game.
Yeah.
We're not actually fighting. We're actually kind
It's
of
like
playing
practice, right?
the Yeah, it's practice. However, in capoeira, it's very there's not there's a lot of gray areas. It can turn into a fight any moment. Even with me and you, people best
Yeah. That sounds
playing.
crazy. Oh, just come to have a good time, a bit of fun, guys. And then all of a sudden, oh shit, this stuff got serious.
It's like a violent game of slap boxing or something like that. It could turn any moment, but that's kind of part of the game of capoeira is learning how to read your opponent or learning how to manipulate him, in the way that you want to. It doesn't always have to be violent.
Obviously, it seems all about the kicks and the acrobatics. And when you're playing that game, I don't see anyone throwing any punches. So is punches part of capoeira? Are
It
punches
is
part of capoeira?
a part of capoeira, but not a big part of capoeira. Not during the games of capoeira.
Yeah.
However, is it wrong to throw a punch? Nope, not at all. There's no rules to it, but there are certain rules that you just don't do in capoeira. We usually use an open-handed
Good
strike.
slap.
Yeah, a good slap, whether it's straight, just like anything else, jab, cross, hook. But yeah, they use open hands. They don't usually. There's a philosophy maybe behind that. A long time ago, I heard that a lot of Africans back in the day didn't want to destroy their hands because they had to need it to work, to do other things. So they use their feet. And
Oh,
this is
yeah.
having their elbows, knees, things like that.
Well, if you're going to knock someone out with a spin kick, it's probably best off using a capoeira kick because they come around with some velocity, don't they?
They do. I think, capoeira to me is not so much like a ring art. It's not made to just send a ring. It's kind of made to hurry up, do your thing, and either flee or stay there and destroy the person.
Now, do you get a lot of that? People like dissing it, saying, it's just breakdancing and that stuff doesn't work.
Well, you know, my father always said this too. He's like, if they think that, then you're actually doing it right. Because that's kind of originally how, you know, we wanted people to perceive it. Like, it's nothing. They're just dancing. They're just, you know, having fun, singing. That's what they do. And then, boom, the next day. You know.
There you go. I remember seeing your showreel back in the day. Mm. I couldn't believe how high you were jumping. Look at that. Just look at that.
Ooh, yeah, it was definitely back in the day.
How old are you there?
Oh, it's in my mid-20s, maybe.
Yeah, look at the height on this here.
Yeah.
That is insane.
LAVC, I think, yeah. I was still with Zero Gravity, just Team Zero Gravity in Northern California.
Oh, yeah.
Doing this.
Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Well, so, thank you.
I mean, look at that there, the height there.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. So how did you end up getting into the film business? How did that all come about?
Man, kind of luck. Kind of stumbled upon me. Yeah,
it wasn't a plan then. It wasn't like, I want to go and do stunts.
No, it wasn't a plan at all. I think I was around 23. I just came back from Brazil. You know, I had no money, gave all my money away. And then I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do here? I met a guy in Oakland named Tony Chu. And he did capoeira with me, actually, in San Jose. And he was asking me to be part of this stunt group that he's forming called Zero Gravity. And it's just an independent stunt group and just a bunch of guys from different martial art academies getting together and doing pretty much Jackie Chan, Hong Kong style, you know, fight scenes and stuff. And around the cities of Oakland, Hayward, all these different places.
I remember seeing some of their stuff back in the day. Zero Gravity, yeah.
Yeah, that was right when the internet started, you know, pretty much. I didn't even know what it was. And so, you know, he wanted to kind of mix capoeira in with this Hong Kong style. And I don't think anyone's ever done anything like that before. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, I wasn't thinking anything of it. So we've made a few films and he put it on the internet and it actually did pretty well. I started doing that and I was like, oh, wow, cool. Could possibly have a career in this. And then, however, one day I get a call. It was around 2004. I was at work. And I get a call from Thailand. It was actually the production company there. And they were asking me my availability, if I would want to do a movie with Tony Jaa. And this is actually, I got through seeing Tony Jaa doing Ong Bak. And I was like, wow, this cat is amazing, you know? And I was like, wow, this could just be the same Tony Jaa.
So how did they know about you?
They found me on the internet with the Zero Gravity. But before that, they saw me, I guess, in a videotape and like a, not so much full contact, but just playing a very aggressive capoeira game and, you know, just taking down certain people. And that's what they wanted for their movie. I guess what Tony and Pana, Tony's master, they were looking for a capoeira guy to fight Tony for The Protector, Tom Yam Goom. And I guess they were auditioning people and they didn't really find anyone with that can make it look like a fight, you know? Mm. So I guess they ended up finding a video of me somewhere. Like I said, it's the internet. It had to be VHS. I don't know how they found it, but it was of me, you know, fighting in capoeira.
So how many days did you spend making this fight?
Man, I think it was about a week and a half. Week and a half.
Plenty of time then, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think when they said, yeah, you're going to be doing it in a big, massive puddle?
Oh, man. I didn't really think anything. I was just like, okay, how am I going to make this work? You know, me and Tony, you know, we both were like, man, how are we going to make this work? It's going to be, you know, just, we had to practice on dry mats, you know, and then kind of wet them up a little bit, maybe to, you know, get the feeling of how it's going to be during the day. But to be honest, man, we just went for it. We didn't know how it was going to feel with the water or the fire.
Is it a set?
I'm sorry?
On a sound stage.
Yeah, it was a sound stage.
And what's the floor like underneath? Is it matted or is it hard?
No, it wasn't matted. It was definitely hard. And I kind of needed it to be hard to do moves like that, like up the hand spin and things like that. And to be honest, for me to cut back and forth and change direction, it's a little bit easier for me to have it hard. So we had like a thin layer of carpety. You know, I think that was pretty much what we had. So it was enough padding, you know, for us to do what we had to do and not get hurt. So
that's just amazing there.
Oh, yeah.
Strength that you've got. So was Tony and the team saying, well, what can you do? And working out how he would respond and all the rest of it. Show me your best stuff and we'll work into the choreo.
Man, yes. It was weird. Tony didn't speak English and I didn't speak Thai. And we were sitting there for a while. We had our translators. And then we kind of got up. Tony was like, chase me around with some moves, you know, and you know, just right now. And man, we just, it was pretty much like the first scene you see there. It's pretty much what I threw at him, you know, but not, you know, not as fast, of course. But the first sequence we do here, where I was throwing a lot of different spin kicks, me lo hice con paso at him, it's pretty much how it started. Yeah. And we just kind of developed it from there. And he really was trying to figure me out. Like, I was throwing all these different things at him. I was playing my game of capoeira, and he was playing his game of Muay Thai. He was trying to figure me out, and I was trying to figure him out.
This kick here, it amazes me. It's just so fast and precise. Mm. And, you know, if you didn't know what you were doing, you're not going to be able to block this kick because, you know, you're on your hands, and then there's a bloody front kick coming at you from upside down.
Buff. A lot of those kicks that I use is kicks that I have been kicked by. You know, that little kick. So, I know what kind of would work, you know, because it's worked on me.
But really, this is two performers at their very best doing, it's a brilliant fight sequence. This bit here, you're so inch close to each other and you know, how long did it take for you to feel that you can just throw this at Tony and he's going to be fair to react? Because, you know, you don't want to kick the star in the face, do you? Did you just feel straight away that he was on top of it and you were fine to go full out?
Oh yeah. A funny story, you know, first take ever we did is when I take off my hood and I strike him. I kicked him right in the head with that scorpion kick, right in the head. It was a good one too, and it kind of rocked him a little bit, and. Oh. His master was clapping, you know, like, yeah, that's it. That's what I want. And I was like, oh, shoot. I made contact there as well. And, but that wasn't the really, really hard one.
Oh, right.
But after that one, after that take, he kicked me in the head. And when we both were like, hey, man, yeah, at least we can take each other's kicks. But right when I saw him move, man, the first day, I knew he can get out the way. I knew he kind of moves like a capoeirista. He's just Muay Thai, but he moves like a capoeirista. So, I trusted him to be able to move out the way. He did the same with me.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch both together.
Thank you. And now, plus, you know, in capoeira, you know, that's pretty much what we do anyway. We get in close. Yeah. I kind of know the angle. I'm always looking at him. Even when I'm going upside down and whipping a kick, always have my eyes on him. So if I need to stop the kick, you know, I'll stop the kick.
Now, I know you got injured, right?
Right. Yeah.
Was it with the punch front semi?
Yeah. I think I did about 10 to 12 of those. And I had a feeling around like the eighth one, you know, my Achilles were getting tight. And it was a long day already.
Yeah.
Man, I just knew it. And then that 12th take, boom, right there, popped.
Bang.
Popped, yeah. It's and amazing. Then someone took over.
Someone I believe over. It's Aaron Tony, right?
Yep, that's Aaron Tony.
Yeah.
Right away. I think that was his first job. I'm not sure. But yeah, it was pretty much both our first jobs. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I had no idea. I couldn't tell that it was a different performer.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, you probably can, of course, because it's you. But no, I didn't have a clue. But yeah, that's back somersault into the front somersault. Yeah. Well, was it anything to do with the water, or it was just overuse
at this overview.
Yeah,
we use a lot of energy. You know, that whole fight used a lot of energy, both of us. Because capoeira, I'm always moving. You know, I'm always in a like a horse stance position, pretty much. So yeah, my leg, I think it just gave out.
Let me tell you what I did once. This was just practicing in the gym, but I did back somersault into the punch front somersault. But yeah. I thought the floor was closer than what it was. So as I did the back somersault, I went into the punch front and the floor wasn't there. And then the floor was there and both of my ankles went whack. Both of my ankles sprained at the same time. They had to carry me out of the gym.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I hope you didn't have to do that before a film or anything.
I thought, I'm not doing this in a film. I'm not that stupid. I'll leave that to Latif.
Just take it from me. Yeah, that one, I'll just do that one like three or four takes, man. That's about it.
So that's a bad injury. So that was setting you back at least 6 to 9 months, right?
Yeah, it was that old school, you know, surgery where they cut you open, reattach, and then give you a zipper, seal you up with a zipper.
That plays on your mind, doesn't it? When you get a bad injury like that,
it's the word
to get the confidence back.
Yeah, it really, you know, it helped me a lot is going back to capoeira. You know, I that's the thing that's good about capoeira. Even if you're not moving, if you're injured, you can still learn music. You can still learn the songs, culture. There's so much to learn in capoeira, not just the movement. So I made the move to LA like around 2005.
Started getting in on the scene.
Yeah, I met up with Larnell.
Larnell, obviously he was the fight coordinator for Undisputed 3. It was Larnell that brought you into Undisputed 3. Yeah. Thankfully, Larnell's an incredible fight coordinator. Yeah, what I love about Larnell's stuff is it's got a lot of flash, you know, a lot of Hong Kong flavor. But like JJ Perry, there's a lot of violence within it.
Very raw.
Yeah.
So like,
work on that short film he did. I remember seeing that short film he did and he was like turning into a beast or something. Did you work on that?
Steel.
Steel, that was it.
Steel, touch that's me. Right. That's right. Yeah. When I got into LA around 2006, he found me at LAVC training, I think, pretty much. And man, he came to me right away. He's like, hey man, I got something for you. Just, you know, give me your contacts, whatever, it'll be in the works. He's like, I know who you are. You know, I saw you. I just did Tom Yum Goong and it just came out. So I think people knew me from that a little bit, but I'm still starting out, you know, humble beginnings in the industry, you know? And, it was Steel. Yeah, I guess he had his own independent project. And he cast me on there. It was fun, man. It was a very, one of my favorite projects to do with him. It was very small, independent, low budget, but talented guys on there.
Yeah, man. Larnell's great. I've worked with him many times. Here you are having this fight scene with Vratsa.
Vratsa, hey.
Vratsa, and it's all like really long takes.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Remember we didn't have too much time. I guess
about half a day for this, wasn't it?
Yeah. This is like half a day, I think. Yeah.
Morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can just do it all in one shot, man. It's incredible.
We can all do it in one shot. Like, you know, Ratza's like, I was lucky to have him as well, you know, to be able to know where the camera is, open up, you know, that all those things are so important, you know,
for performers. But look at this though. For you to get this kick in the right place, moving back like that, that is not easy.
No.
I mean, how many times did you try that?
We didn't have many times. I think maybe 3 times at the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, it's so difficult.
Yeah. This is great.
You hit him hard now. Really bang. Yeah, those Bulgarian stunt guys are great, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're good. Tough guys. Talented.
And did you pick up the art of screen fighting quite quickly in terms of how to throw punches, how to react, where to show to the camera and things like that. Did it come natural?
Yeah, I did. You know, like when I was studying, when I was in that zero gravity group a long time ago, early 2000s, you know, we would study a lot of the movies. We would, you know, be practicing angles with a camera, doing a lot of camera tests. So, you know, that was like a good 3 or 4 years of doing that.
Here we go then.
Yeah, here we go.
Look at you all, a bit sneaky.
Yeah.
One shot look.
Essence of the cup waiter
Yeah, and you hit
right
me.
there.
And I basically fall over when you elbow me. It was like, Jesus.
I think I almost fell over.
Wow.
I fell into you. Right
Knocked me over,
on.
man. I was like, okay, I'll live with it.
Kind of lost you for a second. I was like, oh, shoot. Let me go a little deeper just in case. Yeah.
And I think when I sweep you there, that's the thing that your transitions to go from that into a back somersault. I mean,
Yeah, I've never done that before. That's what I did. I did a cartwheel. Yeah, I never did a cartwheel one way and backflip in the same spot, or maybe the other
oh.
way. That was, you know, I was just kind of going off your energy, brother.
Well, this
You
is it,
know.
because I think I touch your leg with the sweep as well, because I'm not holding.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, this brother's fast, man. I gotta hurry. Yeah,
But
I gotta get
yeah,
off the ramp.
and there, when you kick me in the stomach, I basically wipe out again. Look, brush.
But I
You're
did
just
too.
styling it out the whole time.
You know what? I guess there's a lot of funny things in there. I touched my head on the ground when I was going backwards. I was doing like a macaco. And yeah, I wasn't supposed to, but I lost my balance too as I front kicked you right there.
Yeah, but
So,
I thought that was you were doing exactly what you meant.
yeah, I kind of meant to, but I
Yeah.
played it off. I
Yeah, you were
really
doing what you wanted to do, Latif. It's me who's got no control over my body. Look at
did.
the
No.
Isaac's like, I love it. Moving on.
Yo, yeah, good on Isaac. Yeah. You know what I love about Isaac too, man? The fact that he's a martial artist and he, you know, could actually direct me too, you know, on my action and some of my movements. I remember my ridge hand and stuff. He's like, Latif, you know, turn it over, you know, really turn it, you know, grab your hand like this. And I was like, oh
Wow.
yeah, there it is, bam, right there.
Yeah, this is a lovely bit, this one, because we're getting close to each other.
Oh
And I'm
yeah.
coming right at
Oh
your
yeah.
face. I'm
That
coming
one right
right at
there.
your head with the kick
Ooh.
there, and because I know you're going to duck.
Ooh, that was like a sword, your foot. Man, I remember
Yeah. And there's the
that.
ridge hand. It's applicable, I'm
Yeah.
telling you. And this was the move that when we were rehearsing, I
Yeah.
landed. I think we came up with it and said, "Oh, wouldn't that be cool if I throw you with this and you go over?"
Yeah.
When we practiced it, I landed on your foot.
See that? I see how I sweep my foot around to the front. That's how I learned. You know, that foot, I left it back. So where you're landing right now,
Yeah.
that's where I left it when we got hurt, when I got hurt.
Yeah.
So now I'm sweeping my leg around to the front so you don't land on it.
Yeah,
So
I
that was all
landed on
made. Yeah, I
it.
had to make that change.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Okay.
man, for you to go along with that too, like, you know, a lot of people think it's, oh man, I think he did a cool move. It's like, no, we did a cool move. Because that's not easy to dance like that in the air, you know?
Takes two to tango.
Takes two to tango for sure.
Now, this I always tell people about this, and when I talk about what it's essential to work with another partner, because this was a difficult move for me. As I said, I didn't know if I could actually do it. I didn't done it in the gym, but to actually do it off this post, it was a little bit slippy. I wasn't sure if I could do it. I remember the first take, I landed flat on my back, and everyone's like, "Are you sure this is gonna work?" I said, "No, I can do this." And I remember this being the second take. But what I remembered more is that as soon as I landed, and as soon as you knew that I'd done it and we were good to go further, bang, you were straight in there with that move. That's when you need
But
someone like you that is, just he understands the movement at such a level that he knows as soon as I'm good, you can just shoot in with that next move.
well, I'll give it back to you. I mean, for you to land in that mark, to doing that move that you've never done before, get the height you need to rotate, land straight up and down so you don't land too far back or too far forward, so you can execute another kick. You know, and we had limited time. Like I said, everyone doesn't realize it, but we had limited time. I thought that was amazing. So you helped. We, like you said, yeah, it was a two to tango.
Mate, I was just trying to land it. I didn't know where it was going to land. But the point is, when I did land, you were there, and I just throw that spin kick straight at your head, knowing that you'd get out of the way.
Yeah, I've seen that spin kick thrown at me a lot of times. So, yeah. Just did what I usually do.
I think we spent a day on this fight. Was it one day?
Yeah, it was one day. Yeah. One day, like not too much rehearsal. I'd catch you in between your acting takes or your breaks. Yeah, there it is. That was a full twisting kit.
I wasn't even sure I could do it, to be honest.
Shoot. But I did. Yeah, we were right under you.
Buff.
Yes, contact. You remember, I think you did a, how you say that in English? Not a pot of fool. So you did like a, maybe a 720. Ah, there it is. And you got me in the head and you came up to me. This scene, you're like, hey mate, is it cool if I actually make contact and kick you in the head? And I was like, yeah, go for it, let's get it.
Well, if you look, you can see I've got a pad. We put a little pad on.
Yeah. Man, I got padded.
You got the dreads, man.
Yeah,
you got the dreads. So there's a bit of pad in there. Obviously, I'm not trying to kick you in the face, and wanted to kick you like here.
Yeah, you got me right on there, man. Yeah. Perfect. Wow.
And of course, the obligatory spit the gum shield out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the undisputed move where you know the guy's almost defeated.
Yep.
Put a bit too much power powder on the floor here, though. Got carried away. Yeah, but man, was a pleasure working with you. Hard work, but really rewarding. One of the best fight scenes I've ever done.
Likewise, same with me, brother. Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. And
One day compared to Tony Jaa's 1 week.
1 week, yeah, exactly. One day, and like I said, little rehearsal time. We were both injured, and that's just a testament to us, man. I really appreciate working with athletes and martial artists like you. Kevin Tantaroan approached me at that time. Oh man, I don't know when that was, 2011, maybe 12. I'm not sure when it was. And he was a big fan of Tom Yum Goong. You know, he's a Thai guy. He's a big fan of Tony Jaa. And he approached me one day. I forgot where I was. I was training somewhere at 8711, I believe. And he told me about this project he was doing with Mortal Kombat. He's how he's going to make it more realistic, gritty, kind of like Batman Begins. He's going to have Mike Jai White on there, blah, blah, blah. Larnell Stovall was going to do the fights. So I was like, yeah, I'm in. Everyone here did it for free. Did this for free.
Oh, really? Camera.
I think Kevin just spent $7,000 US on this shoot. Everything was free.
Good old Matt Mullins.
Matt was awesome. And yeah, he's a perfect Johnny Cage, We only had a couple hours to film this as well.
This move here is a proper Larnell move.
Oh, you know it. Yeah, that's definitely Larnell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it okay wearing the makeup?
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. The only thing that bothered me was the forehead kind of bounced around a little bit. I had these prosthetics on my forehead, but everything else was fine. You know? Or I had prosthetics on my arm that would jump around and kind of get loose when I was punching and stuff. But everything else was fine.
Yeah, it's probably a lot easier than a Mandalorian suit.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to get into that. Got to talk about Tekka, because you are this character come to life. So it's perfect that you should play him. I was almost in this movie.
Oh man, who were you going to be, Brian?
Brian Fury, yeah. And then I couldn't do it, and Gary Daniels did it, and he's great, perfect for it anyway.
Yeah,
it was a close one.
Oh man, that's cool to know.
Yeah, so this was around 2010, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was filmed in Shreveport, Louisiana. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Now, this the actor here playing the other guy, what's his name?
Oh, that's Darren Henson. Yeah, that's a good friend of mine, Darren Henson. Yeah, he's a dancer actually. He's a one of the like great dance choreographers here. He's like did choreographed dances for like 98 Degrees or something like Britney Spears, different things like that back in the day, Janet Jackson. So he can remember moves really easy.
Yeah, don't know about that front kick there.
Yeah, no, he's not a martial artist
I
for
know,
sure.
can tell. But anyway, it's all good, it's all good. They could have given him a better costume.
Yeah, sure could have. My costume was okay. I guess that's pretty
Your
much.
costume's cool, man. I mean, it is the Eddie Gordo costume.
Yeah, I think I was probably the closest to the, game character. Bro, so actually Gary Daniels did a good job as well, playing Fury.
Yeah, Gary's great.
Yeah.
How many fights do you have in this film? Is it just this one?
Just one. The first script I had, I think I had like two or three fights in there. And then the budget went down. And then the next script came out. And then I had two fights in there. And then I get shot in prison or something like that. And I was like, what the heck? Then a third script comes out before production. And then, yeah, it's just one fight and that's it. I don't come back.
I
I
mean,
guess
who
the
makes
budget.
these decisions? Come on, this is the problem.
Yeah.
You're one of the coolest characters in the movie. Your martial arts is off the hook. Everyone loves that character from the game anyway. I used to play the game. I don't remember who the other guy is. I don't even remember his character from the game. I don't know. But I want to see more of Eddie Gordo. You know, that's the character that one of the fan favorites from the game, right? Why,
Yeah.
you know, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know. Hollywood does that a lot, if you notice, it's
Hollywood does that a lot, yeah.
yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to what to say about that, but
I mean, look, you never know. You sign up for these films. It could have been that it was as successful as Mortal Kombat.
right.
You know, but it just sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. As actors, performers, you never really know. It's always a leap of faith. You know,
Right.
I mean, no one's going to read the scripts of Mortal Kombat and go, oh, this is incredible. I mean, it is what
Yeah.
it is. But for whatever reason, that film really worked. And it
Right.
did really well at the box office.
Right.
Sometimes it just doesn't go that way.
Yeah, man.
How's it working
Shoot.
with Mike?
Mike, yeah, as you know, actually, when I first saw you fight Mike, that's when I saw you. I was like, wow, these two guys, some great athletes, man, great martial arts. But Mike's a different guy. He's different. Like he's really legit. And he looks, he hits about as hard as he looks, and he's really, really fast, really precise. He's a scientist in his martial arts. He really studies his martial arts. He's an amazing guy, man.
Yeah, he's legit, isn't he? He's
Yeah.
on another level, man. He's a
Yeah.
freak of nature.
Yeah. His, I mean, even we're performing, we're not going too hard, but his blocks, when I had to strike him like with a punch and he had to block, man, it's like hitting a wall.
Yeah,
He's
that's a good point.
really, really strong, man. But really fun to work with. I tried to beef up as much as I can to fight with him here, but you can only do so much.
Well, that's why I got as big as Boyka, because I knew that he was playing the good guy. I was like, oh, I better put some muscle on them.
Yeah, you don't look too small, kicking them and beating, up a guy that's 230, 6'2",
Well, that's why Mike's like, I need to fight three of these guys.
Yeah.
I give one of them a sword.
Yeah, put a sword in his hand.
How long did you
Yeah.
spend on this fight?
Whew. I think maybe it was a day. I'm not sure, man. I have to ask Larnell. Maybe it was just 2 days maybe on this fight.
Yeah, I
Yeah, it
mean it's a
wasn't.
decent length fight.
Yeah, I believe it was 2 days. We didn't have much. I was on this whole show as an actor, but yeah, this fight didn't. And here again, me and Mike were just rehearsing in like wherever we could, whenever he was off work. We meet in a lobby in a hotel. Whenever I got off work, yeah, we meet somewhere in a, lobby or right outside the hotel and work these moves. Yeah.
That's what it takes. You've got to put the work in, haven't you? Because,
Yeah,
you know,
off
it's not a
hours.
big budget movie. You don't have rehearsal time built into the schedule. You've got to find that time off your own back, haven't you?
Right.
The alternative is to just turn up and not be prepared, which, of course, we don't want to do.
No.
Knee to the ankle.
You know, it's funny. That was kind of a little history with capoeira. Like, that was a lot of punishment for guys who did capoeira. It was to cut the Achilles so they wouldn't fight or run away. So
All right.
kind of thought that move when
Yeah.
he did that. I was like, yeah, that's a good way to get rid of me. I
Yeah.
can't jump.
You do it to yourself, though, in Thailand.
Yeah, I
Punishing
did.
yourself. I was actually, I don't even know if Mike knows this, but I almost made Falcon Rising. I was talking to the producer about starring in that. And then
Oh,
it
wow.
didn't work out for whatever reason. And then, I don't know, 2 years later, Mike was making it with in with Ernie Barbara, who had worked with before. And I was like, oh,
Oh,
what happened?
you
What
know what?
you want me to do it?
I kind of remember that. Oh, actually, I think the whole movie was going to be a little different. I remember Isaac was talking to me about doing a capoeira movie.
Oh no, that was something different.
That something different
Now
with you?
that was after I did Ninja.
Right.
But before Ninja, so it was after Undisputed 2, they wanted to do the movie Capoeira. I've still got the script somewhere, and it was going to be set in the favelas. And Isaac had gone to a favela in São Paulo and had met like the head guy there and was shown around, and they were fans of Boyka and all the rest of it. And they were quite accommodating, you know, but we weren't sure what we felt about it because, you know, we weren't sure how much we could trust, you know, all that stuff that
Yeah.
we didn't know about. But for whatever reason, it didn't end up happening. We actually took part of the story and used it for Undisputed 4. The whole aspect of him killing someone and going to find the wife. That was the whole capoeira thing. We used it for Undisputed 4. But yeah, that would have been cool, man. But yeah, capoeira, I mean, I would have had to have gone and studied some capoeira, pretty hardcore. But you know, I've always had the gymnastics and I've got taekwondo kicks, and I felt like I had a bit of a Mark Dukauskas on it.
Man. You're like 70% there. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're a good athlete, to be honest. So, yeah, you'll adapt really well. The only thing I would say, just the mindset, is a little tricky to get.
In what way? What's the mindset?
Well, capoeira, it doesn't really have any, nothing to set. There's no good, there's no bad, there's no rule, there's this and that, and there's treachery. It's everything and it's opposite. It's beautiful, but it's violent. It's a game, but it's a fight. It's treachery, and it's also, it can be very merciful. It's just
That's
yeah.
what. I wouldn't be turning up for training. I'd be like, what a day is it going to be today? Am I going to get the shit kicked out of me?
It could happen. Yeah, you just never know.
How did you get involved with The Mandalorian? Because this is the best show on television right now. For me, it's just incredible. It's Star Wars done correctly. We have
Oh,
to
yeah.
take our hats off to Jon Favreau and who's the other gentleman's name?
Filoni, Dave Filoni.
Filoni, Dave Filoni. Star Wars done right, man. And you are in the suit for a large portion of the stunts and fights, I should think.
Yeah. I'm pretty much every time Mandalorian goes into action, pulls out a gun, starts running, anything, fighting, running, standing sometimes. But yeah, I'm in the suit. It's me and another guy, who's a great actor, a good friend of mine, Brendan Wayne. He's actually John Wayne's grandson. Yeah,
Really?
he's yeah.
Because I've noticed that he's got the John Wayne swagger.
Yeah, that's all I've done.
Is that a conscious decision to get him because he was related to John Wayne, because
Oh.
they wanted a John Wayne sort of archetype?
Yeah, a little bit of that. And I think him and Jon Favreau are, they work together. They're friends. They did Cowboys and Aliens together. And yeah, I mean, he's a great performer. So yeah, most of the suits or does in a suit, that's him. All the dialogue, most of the dialogue. And then Pedro Pascal also does a little bit of the suit work, and he does the voiceover. So it's pretty much three of us.
So, what's it like wearing that suit and doing the action and the fights?
Oh, it's challenging, but it's kind of like what we're talking about with Undisputed. You just kind of have to go with what you have, and make the best of it. But
What's your vision like?
the vision is limited. It's exactly what you see. It's a tinted T right here. So this is pretty much what I see, side and in here. So you'll see, if you see me doing a lot of head movements in the mask, it's because I really need to see who I'm fighting, where I'm going, and things like that. So
Is it strapped on under here, nice and tight?
when I have to do big gags, I have to do a big wire gag, or get a wire pull, or do a big fight scene where I'm flipping to my head, do a any kind of big reaction, I'll have a chin strap. Other than that, when I'm fighting on my feet, no, I usually don't have them.
And is the armor, I mean, I imagine it's not as heavy as that it looks, but how cumbersome is that?
It's not so much heavy. It's a little heavier by the legs because I'm wearing so much armor down there. It's just kind of restricting, So when I'm fighting all the guys, I'm also fighting the suit, as well. And there's some parts that I have to, make adjustments to so it doesn't cut into my neck or anything like that. But that's just, part of doing any suit work. It's always gonna have something a little off and wrong. You just kind of gotta customize it and deal with it.
Now, is every episode filmed in that whatever they call it, where it's like a an LCD screen or something? And
Yeah, the volume, it's amazing. You're pretty much in this virtual world. All the walls around you are LED screens, and that's connected to the camera. So I'm like, please, I'm bad with technology, so I
yeah,
can't.
camera moves and the background moves as the camera
It
moves,
moves
right?
exactly. And if
Yeah.
you're standing there and the camera starts moving, you kind of get a little dizzy because you can see the walls moving.
Yeah,
So
I
you
was
feel
looking at the behind the scenes stuff thinking, oh, I'd probably be throwing up right
like.
about now
Yeah. I kind of stumbled a little bit when the wall started moving. But
if I
yeah, it's either filmed there or in a back lot as well for the exterior shots.
There's a fight scene on the top of a truck. Did you do that?
Yeah, that was
That's
actually, yeah, we were actually about maybe 14 or 12 to 14 feet high up on, it's amazing, man. Special effects, everyone, there were, set deck, everyone, they built this truck. They actually built that thing. It's called the Juggernaut. And special effects put like these hydraulics under it, so it's actually moving when we're fighting. So that whole fight, we're actually bouncing up and down, trying to catch our own balance. And that would never have happened as good as it did if they didn't have a good stuntman on that fight. Wow, yeah, this right before this scene, we kind of had an agreement together. We're like, hey man, we're gonna make this scene really, really, really epic. And I was like, you know what? Go all out. If you're gonna, swing at me, you're gonna go hard. We didn't really, we only had like a few days of rehearses. So, remembering the choreo was gonna be a little difficult, but we did it, man. I couldn't see too much in that helmet. He's really using a dark saber. It's actually a practical prop that's lit up.
Oh,
And
really?
it's,
It looks like that.
yeah. And
Cool.
so it was very hard for me to see, of course, swinging when you only have this much vision. So, all my martial arts skills, whatever, my athleticism had to come out during this fight because I was just reacting to
All
light
that
whenever I saw.
training, back in the day, Latif, when you were doing it blindfolded, your master was making you do it.
Yeah, pretty much. Playing capoeira, you always feel blindfolded. Someone's always on your blind side, so.
Yeah.
A lot of training.
Does he do a lot of this stuff himself, the
He
actor?
did it all.
He
He's
did it
swinging.
all. He's quite good then, isn't he? For a, you know, as
Yeah.
senior, he's getting.
Yeah, he went. Yeah, he went all out. He broke about five of those lightsabers, though, which cost a lot. But the props department was just like, oof, a little upset. But yeah, he did a great job. I find a lot of the older, the veteran actors work very, very hard. Physically, they'll put in all the work, to make themselves look good. And that's what he did. He did a good job.
Yeah, I was going to ask if they did face replacement or something because he's really
A
doing.
couple scenes they did face replacement. A couple scenes, like when I struck down on him, I did this move where I kicked the spear and it comes down on top of his head. And I think he had to block it real quick. I didn't want him in there because,
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he can block that. So they had the stunt guy in there, and I think they had to
Just,
face him. That one.
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because it comes quick.
Yeah, it's. I love the show, man. How does it
Yeah.
feel to be in something that's so wildly successful?
I don't know yet. I don't never try to look at things like that. I mean, man, to be honest, brother, I don't even watch TV anymore. I have my
Too busy.
yeah. I don't, so I don't even hear what's going on out there. I just kind of keep doing my thing.
Oh, you
And
keep doing it, Latif, doing a fantastic job, mate. You're one of the best of the best when it comes to
thank you.
martial arts on screen. I know you're a true martial artist in real life, but as this show is all about the action on screen, you're one of the best to do it, man, when it comes to fights.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I you as well. I feel the same about you.
Thank you. Fishing for compliments.
I gotta give it back. I was like, yeah, because I do. I admire you, man. It was definitely one of my best fight scenes. That's the thing about fight scenes. A lot of times we do things together, and we go on this job, and we do this fight scene, and then we go our separate ways, go back home. But it's kind of like a little a bond. You know what I mean? When
Yeah.
you It's a bond that you have. It's not something you can speak about. It's just an energy. And
Yeah.
it's like I had a great energy.
Yeah, it's like you go through the fire together because it's really hard work, especially on these lower budget movies where we haven't got a lot of time. And
Exactly.
certainly on Undisputed 3, I mean, I don't know how you felt, but I know that me and Isaac were definitely like, because we were a little bit disappointed with Ninja that we'd done previously. And we're like, this has got to be great. Let's give it everything we've got. And I'm always kind of like that, but I knew that Boyka was so successful that number two, that I really wanted to do something special. And I think that was the feeling from everyone.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on there too, man. That was great. That was really one of my best jobs, I think,
Yeah.
as far as it goes.
Would live forever on YouTube, being watched
Yeah.
over and over again. Hopefully. Well, Latif, it's great to talk to you again, buddy. It's been way too long. I need to get
Yeah.
that rematch in at some point.
Yes, sir. I'm
Yeah.
ready, man. Do it. I'm ready to do it before you get too old.
I know, yes. I don't know if we can compete with the one we did in Undisputed 3, but it'd be great to at least try.
Yeah.
Yeah, best of luck to you with all the stuff you're doing with Disney and The Mandalorian. As I said, it's just incredible, and I can't wait to see the next season. And best of luck with everything, mate.
Cool. Thank you. Same to you as well, Scott. Thank you, brother, for having me on the show. And be safe out there.